This podcast is brought to you by Mormon Wagons Conference, was a production of Mormon Stories Podcast and the Open Stories Foundation. For additional Circling the Wagons audio and video, and for additional content regarding LGBT issues within Mormonism, please check out GayMormonStories.org. And thank you for listening.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. And I have so many gadgets and multimedia needs, I might just spin around in circles for the next hour. But let's see what happens. But I will be, I'll be doing a little bit off the PowerPoint presentation. So if you didn't get the handout, then afterwards come up and I'm going to have a list of email addresses and I'll send you the PowerPoint presentation of it. Okay, and definitely let this be a chance to, you have full permission in the next hour or so to stick your foot in your mouth. You can ask any offensive questions or anything you've ever wanted to ask to a queer psychologist or anything about these issues. So I do think we need a space to be able to talk about this stuff so we can air it out and get more perspective on things. But definitely thank you all for being here. So let's move on. So my main take-home points, if I bore you or I lose you in the next hour, is to recognize the complex issues in resolving conflicts for traditionally religious, sexual, gender minorities. Because, this is a lot of stuff, but I think it's all important. Because due to the wrong and negative information, the lack of accurate and affirming information, the restricted views, the lack of options, the pressures to live societal and family norms and isolation, that's a lot. And because of the internalization, the conformity, the needs for acceptance, the opposing needs, the repression, the confusion, the fears, the shame, the lack of exploration, and the compliance that impairs the process. So if you're having a hard time figuring this out, that's part of it. So recognize the power in developing self-acceptance, the power in developing a positive, multifaceted self-identity, so not a gay identity or a religious one, but something that takes into consideration all aspects of yourself, and recognize the power in developing proactive skills in managing being a minority. I think so much of life, so much of a lot of options are saying hide, don't be who you are, avoid the conflict. And I really think it's important to learn how to be a minority and love yourself for being that. Also recognize the power in understanding how resolution is a process, not an endpoint. That means, for example, it's not about becoming heterosexual, it's not about celibacy, and it's not about coming out. It's a process, which is exciting and scary at the same time. I think it's important to recognize that the context and the background, this is not happening in a vacuum. Historical, there are assumptions of cures, theories, and interventions. There are dominant views. There are a lot of agendas out there, what you should be doing, what you should not be doing. There are a lot of hopes, a lot of promises, a lot of expectations, a lot of biases, and misunderstandings. That's the belief system that you're trying to wade through. Also, there are a lot of facts. What's normal and what's natural? If you have attractions to the same sex and they're really significant, you are a minority. There are not that many of us out there. So these are minority issues. These are gender issues. Men, women, transgender individuals experience these things differently. The fact is that humans are human tendency for black and white thinking, this or that. There's also a fact that some things can't be controlled. A lot of unknowns and ambiguities that I was mentioning. Also, this involves identity development. It involves your cognitive maturity. It involves your emotional maturity, your personality, your minority identity development, your sexual identity development, your spiritual identity development. That's a lot to develop all at once. So you may want to figure this out sequentially or simultaneously, but it's hard to do it all at the same time. These are interpersonal issues. You have to figure out what to do within your family. This is all about love, romance, and sexuality. So between you and somebody else, so you and others. This is career stuff. Your friends, between you and God, between you and a whole bunch of communities, between you and your government. It's very political. These are also intrapersonal issues. So how you treat yourself and how you treat the aspects of yourself. You have physiological needs, relational needs for wholeness. So again, if you're having a hard time figuring this all out, that's why. It's a lot of stuff to navigate through. As I was mentioning, I was on the American Psychological Association's task force to evaluate the research of attempts to try to change sexual orientation and then to make recommendations for it. Our conclusions, in a nutshell, is that there's insufficient evidence to support the use of psychological interventions to change sexual orientation. Our recommendation was to encourage mental health professionals to avoid misrepresenting the efficacy of sexual orientation change efforts by promoting or promising change in sexual orientation. So stop promising this, since we don't have evidence that you can change. And we concluded that the benefits reported by participants in these change efforts could be gained through other approaches that do not attempt to change sexual orientation. So these are the benefits. Basically, I was no longer alone, and it made sense. So those who liked reparative therapy, they were provided with hope, relief, support, and answers. And I should say, one reason why I'm talking about these benefits and all the harms is I think it's important to, the topic is to what helps and what hurts. And so try to figure out all the things that help everybody and then use those aspects for yourself or see what's fit for yourself. So it seems like a lot of people need some hope, some relief, some support and answers to figure this out. It's necessary to adopt a self-positive sexual identity. For these individuals, it was a non-gay identity, or a heterosexual with an SGA, or a repentant identity. But something to get rid of that idea of being a pervert or abomination. They found a place to belong, fit in, meet similar others, and feel normal. A place to express and experience both being religious and sexual. Enhance closeness with others, since they were isolated from themselves and others, and behaviors became congruent with their lives and with their values, enhanced their gender identity and competencies, rather than feeling like a sissy or a bad tomboy, figuring out what felt right for them, and then enhanced self-exploration. But the other side of the coin, harms were experienced and reported. They were described as due to being misinformed about realistic outcomes, being misled with unsubstantiated theories and interventions, so given false cures and promises, blaming the person for not changing and internalizing the treatment failure. As my research participant said, I'm weak, I'm evil, I'm the failure. Being reinforced that being LGB is a disease and must be avoided, so agreeing with or not countering false information and societal oppression. Restricting education or exploration of options, that there's only one way to do this. And feeling pressure to be one way or another and reject or suppress core aspects of yourself. These aspects were reported as increasing despair, self-hatred, confusion, anxiety, depression, discrimination, unnecessary losses, intimacy difficulties, and for some, suicidality. So I'm going to skip around on that handout. But basically, I love this cartoon. I don't think you can see it on your handout, but it says, the woman is saying, I don't want to be defined by who I am. There are lots of reasons why she doesn't want to, for herself. So what I'm going to do next, I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to show a video clip of a woman who I don't think is lesbian or bisexual. It's a biography of Tina Turner. It's a 5-minute clip. It's from the movie What's Love Got to Do with It. And when you watch the video clip, ask yourself, why is he showing this to us? Okay? So here we go. The lotus is a flower that grows in the mud. The thicker and deeper the mud, the more beautiful the lotus blooms.
is wrong with you? You just cut out all that wild gyration and blues shouting in here. Ain't the 4th of July picnic, and you ain't singing with Mr. Bootsy Whitelaw and his slide trombone. Show the Lord a little more respect. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Bright light from Bright Light.
Bright light, my little light, I'm gonna let it shine. Bright light, my little light, I'm gonna let it shine. My bright light, little light, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
So, what does that have to do with the issues we're talking about? What are your thoughts? It's irony?
Sorry. It's irony because they're singing about this little light within me, let it shine, and they won't let her shine.
Yes, you can see the irony, but they can't. Uh-huh. What are the thoughts?
Huh? And even a little bit more direct. For people who are different, and that difference can, it can be sexual orientation, it can be a different opinion, can be different beliefs, a different perspective, just being different. You know, for those of us who just feel ostracized, I mean, with me and my family, I just feel like I'm different, and I am learning to love myself for that, and just, you know what, I'll let my light shine too, ha ha, you know? But yeah, that's being just different.
Yep, that's a process of being different and figuring out to how to let your light shine. Yep, great.
Uh-huh. I think it's sad that the director couldn't see the depth and the dimension that this little girl was adding. She wasn't subtracting; she was adding a great deal, and they kicked her out. You know.
You see the losses of the community. Mm-hmm.
What I liked was that she was still being who she was in spite of an authority figure telling her to be something else.
What do you think helped her to do so? What's your guess on that?
Me? I don't know. You know, it seemed like she was just had that, it was just swelling from the inside. She couldn't control it. So she opted not to try to and sang all the way to the door.
Exactly. So that allowed that swelling to keep going. Other thoughts? Yep.
I think she must have had a mother who encouraged her to be herself. And she was being very authentic, and that wasn't okay.
Yep. It really requires someone to buffer those messages or support or affirm so that she could keep going, if that's swelling inside.
I think she was in a black community, and the black community has often been persecuted. And that the Mormon community often feels like we come from a history of persecution. But oftentimes we forget how easy it was to feel persecuted when we were the ones being persecuted and then to turn and persecute others.
Oh, yes. That we're aware of it, but we reenact the things that were done to us.
What I thought was real noteworthy was she didn't care. She left still singing and smiling and laughing. She didn't care what the director thought about her. She had confidence just to go on and move forward. Nothing bothered her.
And what do you think? What helps for that? Any ideas?
Self-esteem, confidence, knowing that you're good. It's a knowledge. It's an affirmation.
Yep, that knowledge inside.
It just made me think how hard it would be to hold back all of that energy. If she decided not to sing, like what would be going on inside of her and what she'd be having to hold back. And you get to see she just started wiggling and grooving. She couldn't help herself, you know.
Yep. So we'll talk later on after this. What happens when you try to hold back all that energy?
It was a good reminder for me. That's the generation I was raised in. There was a certain conformity. You just conformed. You didn't ask questions. You got spanked if you didn't. And I just think we have to be patient. That was the message to me. We're going to have to be patient in helping others understand.
There's power in this patience.
There is. Yeah, there is.
In perspective.
And patience to just understand there's so much everybody has to give, even if we're, I don't know how to express myself, but that was the message I got. It's going to take a lot of patience to help others understand that we all have good. We all add to the choir. We all, our children add to the choir, whatever it be. So yeah, I thought it was a powerful message.
Great. Yep, great. Behind? It is that patience and power of, again, allowing the internal stuff to come forward, but giving it the space to do so. It's very powerful.
I was just going to say, following up on a couple comments ago, what a loss it would have been thinking about the life of Tina Turner and what she became and what she inspired in people and how phenomenally talented she was if she had internalized and decided to believe that message that she needed to hold her voice in and not share it. What a loss that would have been for the entire world, because she was such an incredible musician. I was glad she was self-possessed with that knowledge that she had something to share, even though others tried to suppress it.
Exactly. The world's better. It's going to lose out if we keep repressing this stuff.
And she was just simply demonstrating her faith and the belief of the words that she was belting out.
Yep, exactly. She was congruent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have kind of set you up, though. I think some people have mentioned this. It looks like from the video clip that the church is the enemy, right? Here's this little girl trying to be herself, and there's the church saying there's only one way to do it. But you also could flip this around. I think in some sections of the gay community, whatever that means, it's hard to be religious. It's hard to be different. So the same thing, I think, happens, the pressure to be one way or do it a certain way squashes that, maybe that spiritual swelling or spiritual gifts that people can bring to other parts of other communities where the norm is not... doesn't allow that sort of difference. Did you notice the choir? What did you notice about the choir?
They just kept on going.
It was what?
They just kept on going.
Yes.
Acting like nothing was happening.
They kept on going, acting like nothing was happening. There's a conformity that allows this sort of repression to keep going. Any other thoughts, reactions to this? So, let's see what's next. Now I'm gonna pause here. I'm gonna do some more. I'm gonna write now on the board. So let's talk about the process of resolution. So if I really hope this is not writing on the wall. I don't think it is. let's say this is a gay Mormon or a lesbian Mormon or an SSA Mormon or a transgender Mormon, bisexual Mormon, whatever it is. So this is a sexual and gender minority in the Mormon church. Again, this is the time where you can stick your foot in your mouth. But what have you heard? What is a gay Mormon? What are the messages, the labels? What is a gay Mormon?
Conflicted.
What else?
An oxymoron.
What does that mean, oxymoron?
It means awfully good.
Awfully? What's that?
Opposing, like awfully good. When you say something's awfully good, awful is awful, but good is good. To say awfully good means it's good?
Yes. It's a question mark. It's good if it's because it's the two different contradictions. What else? What's a gay Mormon? Uh-huh.
A secret.
Yep. What else?
Guilty.
So I'm going to put it right there. So guilty.
I hear people say abomination.
Abomination. What is an abomination?
I from all the definitions I hear from different people, it can mean just generally wrong, dirty, but that But what's arguable about that word is it social or is it religious? Is it political? Like, people are even debating about the context and the, you know, the perspective of the definition of that word.
Mm-hmm. And one could be wrong, dirty, socially, religiously, and politically. Yep.
I was going to take a different route and say brave.
Brave. You had a positive one there. Okay.
I think the worst one is excluded.
Ooh, what's worse about that?
You know, here's somebody that needs acceptance and they're being denied.
So, say it again.
They're just being denied acceptance.
Mm-hmm. So you are denied acceptance. Yep. Okay. What else is a...
Non-existent?
Yes. Yep, non-existent. You do not exist, especially in Iran, right?
Afraid.
Afraid. Yes. You're getting into feelings, but that... if you're a gay Mormon, you need to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Lonely?
Lonely, yep. Lonely. Jerilee's going to get her workout today.
Well, just on the other aspect of the afraid, I think sometimes people are afraid of gay Mormons because they don't know how to, you know, they're afraid of how to interact. You know what I mean? Is that the word to use? A fear of the awkward, something about that. Is that?
So could I put the label scary here?
Yeah, I don't know in a good way, but you know what I mean? Because people, they don't know how to...
Yep, don't know what to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me use my mic here.
Talented.
Talented. It's a positive one. Okay. What else?
Broken, like reparative therapy, that implies that you're broken.
Yep. So broken. You need to be fixed or repaired. Uh-huh. True minority? What does that mean, true minority?
In terms of numbers.
Uh-huh. So that...
You're not the norm.
Uh-huh.
Right. Special and yet unnatural.
Yes. Ooh. So that's an oxymoron again, aren't you? So you're special, but you're unnatural. Yes. For some people, having sex with the same sex is unnatural.
I'm not sure if this is related to broken, but diseased?
Yes, diseased. I'm laughing, but that's not funny. Where should I put that? So you're diseased. And it may be related to being broken. Mm-hmm.
A sinner?
A sinner. Yes. Uh-huh.
Sensitive.
You're sensitive. I'm going to keep putting these positive ones here. You are sensitive. Okay.
A pilgrim and a pioneer to our offering.
Yes, you're a pilgrim and pioneer. Great.
How about contagious?
Contagious. Ooh.
Whatever you do, don't get near my kids. I'd hate for my son to know that there are men who like men.
Yes. We can't talk about this stuff because it will spread. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're probably more predestined to be spiritual.
Predestined to be spiritual. Say more what you mean by that.
From my experience, I just think gay people are innately more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more honesty in their spirituality. Let's put it that way.
Yep. So you're seeing these positive, a gift from all this.
I think the reason for that is because we don't fit the dogma. Mm-hmm. And so we either leave or we go to a deeper source.
So you don't fit. So you should leave or go elsewhere.
Well, a stake president once called me intellectual, and it wasn't a compliment.
Oh.
Well, with me it was an oxymoron, believe
me. Right. What else?
Martin. Oh.
Probably gifted.
Probably gifted. Yep. We have some good stuff here. Uh-huh.
An embarrassment or a disappointment.
Oh, yes. You can look, see it on the face, can't you? You don't. The person doesn't have to say it, but you. It's there's a disgust, but an embarrassment. You are embarrassment. A disappointment. What else? Shameful. What does that word mean? Shameful. Who said that?
Well, I know. When somebody's trying to come to terms with it, they might say that they are ashamed because somebody's made them feel that way, that they should be ashamed of themselves.
Like on the video.
Yeah.
That's what she said. You should be ashamed of yourself, in more words or less. You are shameful.
Too young or too old.
Too young or too old.
You don't know what you're doing because you're too young? Or are you kidding? It's too late. You're too old.
Yes. So the judgment about this, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Immature. Confused.
Yeah.
It's just a phase.
Yeah. It's just a phase.
You don't understand the atonement.
Oh, ooh, oh. Oh. I felt that one. Yeah. Ouch. So... You do not understand that atonement.
Under the influence of Satan.
Oh, yes. So Satan has his chains wrapped around you.
Just kind of to encapsulate all of that, misunderstood in general.
Yes, misunderstood. Yep.
Fun.
The Gay Mormons are fun. Wow. That's amazing that we are so fun.
You were not strong enough keeping your covenants.
Oh,
so
yes.
Weak.
So you're weak.
Weak.
Not trying hard enough.
Unworthy.
Unworthy. And those covenants, you're just not strong enough.
One thing I've been told is that you don't understand who you are.
Yes, they understand who you are. So it goes back to this.
You don't know your true self.
You don't know your true self. That's confusing.
Destroyer of the family.
Oh, ouch. You are the destroyer of the family. If you would just... change, the family would exist.
So I was once told, and it still makes me laugh, that I was handicapped.
Yes.
As if it were like a disability of being blind or uh-huh. or unable to walk.
Yep.
Like a special parking.
In a way, a prisoner.
What's that?
A prisoner.
A prisoner. Goes back to this Satan. Yes. Two more.
I almost laughed, but my grandpa blessed the spirits out of me.
Yes.
So possessed or something under the influence of evil spirits.
Yes. So being possessed, and then you need an exorcism. You are possessed. Yep. A lot of attempts to change.
Have we said creative yet?
Ah.
Isn't that one an obvious?
Uh-huh. Couple more. Any more?
I say heroic.
Heroic, yes.
Determined.
So, imagine if I had a those little sticky tabs, and I wrote... on these sticky tabs, one sticky tab per label, per identity, and then I stuck them on you. and you had to wear this, how would you feel?
Burdened.
What's that, converted?
Burdened.
Burdened, yes. I say, I don't think I'm going to write this down. So you would feel burdened.
Depressed.
Buried alive.
Buried alive. Ostracized.
Ostracized.
Exposed.
Covered up. Yeah.
Labeled. Stuck.
It's
like a version of
the Scarlet Letter. Exactly. That's a really great example of that. You would feel bewildered. Why? Why bewildered?
Because there's all these conflicting messages. I mean, we have you're special, you're creative, you're unique, you're talented, but you're also possessed with something that's inherently and fundamentally wrong.
If there are all these conflicting messages that are positive and negative, and it's trying to figure out you're inherently wrong, but you're also inherently good. It's also a good point. So let's say I put this talented, sensitive, fun, heroic, creative, special, pilgrim, gifted. What if you're not those things? Right? So I think there's also on the other side these ways that you have to be positive, you have to be brilliant, you have to be interior decorator, you have to be funny, like Will and Grace. That also is a burden, conflicting. How else would you feel? So imagine just wearing any of this. If I put a label that said, you don't fit. If I put a label that says, you are a prisoner of Satan. If you're non-existent. If you're diseased. If you're scary. Just kind of feel that for a second. How would you feel?
Shameful.
Angry. Why angry?
Because it's just like one label. They don't really know all of me.
Great. There's a part of you that would get very angry and say, this is only one part of me. It would rebel against that. It's offensive.
Hopeless.
Why hopeless?
It's just sense of that there's so, like, how do you ever arise from all of that?
Yes, how do you arise from all that? Exactly. So how do you redeem yourself if the atonement doesn't work for you? How do you redeem yourself from all this stuff? So if you had all these labels attached to you, you absorb them, burdened by them, feel all the feelings we just talked about, what would you do? You would isolate yourself. Yes.
I think you would naturally try to get rid of one half of the label, whether it's gay or Mormon.
Yeah, you would try to get rid of something to unburden yourself, to make it more hopeful.
Try to preoccupy myself with the things I know I'm good at and that I'm validated for.
Oh, yes, that distraction. So you focus, you get away from this and focus on something else, another part of you, that career, the family, something you're good at, you feel good at. Yep.
My son then sought to find a group.
Yes.
Where he was acceptable.
Oh, so that would actually be a proactive thing. Find
right.
a group that will accept you. Mm-hmm.
I think you don't just try to focus on the positive things. I think you overcompensate as well.
There's an overcompensating. Yep. I'm not a bad boy. I'm a really perfect boy. Yes. What else? What would you do to get rid of or to deal with these feelings and the labels?
Possible anger and acting out
anger. I remember when I given this presentation for racial minority identity development, and we did a black man, and somebody said, "Well, I don't know why black people are so angry all the time." But yes, it makes sense that gay Mormons would get angry. They should. They could.
You ponder ending your life.
Yes. Why?
It's hopeless.
That's a way to solve the problem.
I think you take on for yourself what you're mad about in other people. So you'd say, well, I'm not forgiving, or I'm very judgmental, or I'm impatient, I'm demanding too much.
Yep, so you take it on. You act as if.
I would think you would idealize or be a more of a... what's the word? I I'm trying to think. It's more of you'd be, some might be turned to be idealism.
Exactly. So if you're all these crappy, horrible things down here, boom, shoot for the stars. Yep. Exactly. Is that what you're saying, the idealism?
Well, I don't, not exactly. It's more of just, I think, thoughtful research.
Uh-huh.
Probably more obsessively researching.
Yeah, that's another way to try to figure it out.
Right, uh-huh. Right. To yep. Reinforce yay or nay.
Yes, so search for truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can become vulnerable to people taking advantage of you because you want their acceptance.
Oh, yes. Yep. So you could become very vulnerable. You could get rid of all this stuff and try to be like maybe what you've heard a gay person is, go to the bars, go have sex, and you're going to need to find some way to feel good about yourself. So you're vulnerable to having sex with anybody who likes you. You might drink a lot of alcohol. Kind of makes sense, wouldn't it? You might do a lot of drugs. You might isolate from yourself as well as from others. So there are lots of reasons why, you may be having a difficult time. So let's go back to this process of resolution. So that really the idea is to normalize that sexual identity development is very similar to career identity. You had to figure out what you were going to do. Gender identity, what kind of man, what kind of woman, what kind of transgender individual are you? What kind of religious identity, ethnic, racial, and social identity development? So really just normalize it. It's what we all have to do, heterosexuals as well. There will be periods of conformity, awareness, conflict and crisis, attempts to change, swaying between the extremes, what a Mormon is, what a gay person is, what a Mormon is, what a lesbian is. There will be periods of exploration, comparison, am I that? Do I do that? Gaining different expanded perspectives. There will be reevaluation. It's also a process of becoming disillusioned. Giving up, trying to be heterosexual, and grieving. And then periods of acceptance, reclaiming, getting back what you thought you couldn't have. Periods of pride, of self-efficacy, self-esteem, and then periods of synthesis and integration. And then I think this is regardless of how you identify. So I think this is a very important process, again, rather than trying to figure out to be gay or be Mormon. So gaining a different perspective. I like this cartoon. It's God confronting someone, or God or some heavenly creature, confronting someone who just died. And the heavenly creature says, no, that's not a sin either. My goodness, you must have worried yourself to death. Look at his poor look on his face, too. So I do think it's important to do what you're doing, expanding your perspective. You're all listening very intently to what I'm saying, and hopefully you're not just believing everything I'm saying. So it's important to have that permission to explore and reevaluate that what you have learned and how you might be getting too much of a one-sided view. Your name is Alex. Alex, I have a view of you, right? I can see you. Josh can see you as well. And Kristen can see Alex as well. And Sandy, oh, you can see him, can't you? Can you see his? Oh, no, Alex has turned around now. Oh, that was helpful, Alex. But you can see him as well, right? Martin can see him. Can you all in the back see Alex? Oh, you can't see Alex? What's wrong with you? You can't see Alex? Alex is there. You can't see him. So the idea is to really recognize that there are lots of views of Alex. And if you don't see Alex, you may not trust that there is an Alex, but that is really based upon your where you are. So the idea would be so all of us in this room could get together and put our collective wisdom and say, oh, that's what Alex is. Of course, we could just ask Alex, who are you? And that would be a better, better answer. But again, we have a right to question authority. That if you don't see Alex, someone says Alex doesn't exist, maybe question the authority. encounter and evaluate diverse viewpoints. And possible outcomes of that is increased knowledge, informed decisions of what is realistic, but also disillusionment, pain, anger, which are very necessary parts of this process, that realizing those with whom you trusted to instruct you may not know it all or meet all your needs. Your heterosexual parents may not understand you like you need them to. So that also produced though more self-authority, self-direction. And this really is a normal individuation process that we all have to go through or could go through between parent and child, a process of moving on and moving forward. So let's, before I go to the summary, let me pause and just ask, what questions do you have? Because we have about 10 minutes. What have I not answered yet or gone through? Just 1 second. I'm going to talk about, if I can, about how to change sexuality.
I guess in all of this, I found when I was in the church, and I've been out of the church for many, many years, but when I was in the church, people had expectations about me and about my life that really got in the way of the conversation. And there was never any way that I could reconfigure that conversation so that they could actually hear me. And my, you know, I mean, my response was to leave. And, you know, for 30 years, I carried a hole with me. And I'm really tired of carrying that. And I really don't care anymore that they can't hear me. But that's a real message, I think, as gay people, as lesbians, as transgender people, as people who support us, can take back to the people that we love. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship with your parents, if your parents refuse to hear you, if your bishop, you know, is clueless, and if your stake president calls you an intellectual. So, I mean, it's I think it's really important to figure out a way to get that message into the pews that you need to listen.
Yeah, I have a few. Thank you for sharing. That's really important. It really is part of this very difficult process that we can't change them. We can't control these individuals, just like they necessarily can't control us all the time. I think I have two ideas for that. Is one of my research participants said something that I thought was very quite profound. He said, "I have fasted and prayed all my life to change. If you don't accept me for being gay, then you can fast and pray about it." So just like racism is not a black person's issue but a white person's issue, homophobia really is a treatable condition. It's homosexuality, it doesn't, we don't have evidence that you can treat homosexuality, but homophobia really can be treated. It really involves, yeah, it does. Homophobia is about being afraid of, like, being afraid of spiders. The treatment for being afraid of spiders is you get closer to a spider, you get closer to a spider, you may think about a spider and calm yourself down, and then finally you get to hang out with a lot of spiders. That's, I think, the same thing with homophobia. It's a very treatable condition. But the one thing I think I want to demonstrate for you is, Alex, would you mind being my person again? So I think we're caught in two options. I'm sorry. We're caught with two options. You are this person who is very opinionated and knows what the truth is. And I'm trying to share my truth with you. The option would be that I could make you submit. I could really fight and be aggressive. Or you can be fighting aggressive with me, right? So if you be aggressive to me, come toward me. And all I can do is I can submit or I can fight back with Alex. So the only option right now is I have to be aggressive or I have to submit. And I think most of these, we talked about being sensitive. It's really hard for a gay Mormon to be aggressive and to fight back. So the only option is to be submissive and absorb it. But the other option is, so if you're going to come at me with your strong views, I can just walk out of the, I can just actually step out of the way. So that, thanks, Alex. So the idea is to yield, which is very different than submitting. So if you think about a yielding intersection, you let the car go, and then you go your way. Typically what happens is the idea is you let them speak their truth and you absorb it and you feel really bad about it, and then you crumble and you get stuck. But the idea is to let them speak their truth, you speak your truth, and keep heading in your direction. So I think that's what you did. But it's a very different, if you're, the resolution is I've got to get them to hear me, that's something that's out of our control. So I think it's, again, the process of acceptance and grieving. What else?
Laugh at them.
I mean, if they're the aggressor, instead of backing up or walking away, just laugh. Yeah. Joke's on you, man. I mean, it's...
Well, I think
you're doing a funny character.
Well, I think you're doing what I'm talking about, yielding, because you're a laughable person, or you're laughing, you're a joyous man, so keep being joyous. Don't... I think it's a difference between a radio and a flashlight. A radio sits there and takes in the radio waves and spoots and lets it out. So whatever they say, I agree with and I repeat. But a flashlight just shines that light. So no matter whatever that person is saying or doing or whatever the process they're in, you keep shining that light. Yes.
How can we as gay Mormons work through and remove the internalized shame that we've developed through internalizing all these things?
Yep. It's actually, so much of that's in the slide. All those slides. But it really is for you yourself to sit, reflect, and see which labels you've adopted, you've absorbed, you took on, you believed. And with each one of those labels, figure it out for yourself if you are that. If you are a pervert, a disease, you don't fit. If you're special, if you're queer. And you decide if you want to, if that label fits you, if it fits your needs, if it's going to help you to thrive, and that process of reevaluation, then you can get rid of it, you can change it, you can make it something like, yes, I'm a queer man, my label is I'm a show tune fag, and I'm happy for it. But it's really for yourself owning who you are. But that's that again, that process of figuring out and going on alone. Briefly about sexuality. On that slide number 38, I think it is. I can't see the numbers. 28. It's facilitating sexual congruence. That if you think about it, there's a big topic. I don't know if you can see me behind this bush here, but sexuality is the huge topic. And then underneath sexuality is sexual orientation, it's behavior, it's gender roles, gender expression, there's values, there's motivations, there is your preference, so what kind of person you like to be with. On that slide, I list a whole bunch of other aspects of sexuality. The focus has been so much about trying to change this, that, or change your behavior. But there are the parts of sexuality you can change, like how you feel about your attractions. Do you avoid them? Do you accept them? Do you honor them? Do you like them? Do you get lost in them? You can change your motivations about sex. Do you do it to feel good? Do you do it to escape, to get back at that person for not liking you? Or do you do it so it moves you forward in a more expansive way of meeting your needs? So my idea is... I don't want people to get stuck in this idea of changing this or changing that, but think about the big category and then what parts of sexuality you can change. Also, later on in those slides, I have a whole bunch of things about spirituality and religion that you could change. So there's a process of spiritual development that moves people forward as well. So again, I hope there's as many options as possible to figure this stuff out. I think we're almost done here. So, the summary. Instead of fixing, ignoring, overcoming, invalidating, or arguing with those who are different from us, or aspects within ourselves, the idea would be to improve how you relate to your internal experiences, how you relate to your feelings, your desires, your needs. Do you ignore them or do you honor them? Improve how you relate to others, other communities, and society. It's to improve society's relationship to you and other sexual and gender minorities. Be an advocate. And again, resolutions are a uniquely personal process. And that's a lot of stuff right there. But it can involve conformity, tension, crisis, support, validation, reclaiming, reconfiguration. And really at the end of this, a lot of ambiguity. If you think about as when you were a little baby, I don't think you remember that, but little babies are in this place of awe. They just look at their little a little mobile, and they see your face, and there's just no judgment. There's just an awe and wonder and love. I think throughout this process, you could end up with that sense of, the big mystery of life. I think that's could be part of this end of this whole process. But more than anything, the goal would be to improve your mental health and well-being. So if you don't feel good, you might be on the wrong track. Or maybe not. And so possible resources, I'm selling myself here, but you can go to that APA task force that I mentioned a couple times. That's where you can find it. It's a pretty lengthy document. There's a whole bunch of bibliographies. This website, lgbtqtherapist.com, it's a local, it's a gay affirmative psychotherapist guild here in Utah. It's a website that I run, and I have a whole bunch of bibliographies, list of movies, resources, events. So if you want to know what else is out there, I've obsessively created a bibliography that I think is like 40 pages long about sexual religious references. There's a series of workshops that I've created. They're called the Empowerment Workshops at the Utah Pride Center. They're $5 session, and they go to the Pride Center. But it's a year-long series of trying to improve your communication skills, your sexuality, your how do you feel like a minority, coping skills. The next one will start in January on coping skills. And then I have a therapy group for those in conflict. But that's it. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you today by Mormon Stories Podcast and by the Open Stories Foundation. To learn more about LDS homosexuality, please check out gaymormonstories.org. Music on today's podcast was brought to you by the Saber Rattlers. Take care. Sounding to us and each nation, and shortly the hour of redemption will come. When all that was promised, the saints will be given, and none will molest them from morn until eve. And earth will appear as the Garden of Eden, and Jesus will say to all Israel, come.